So guys, if you have a book, I encourage you to open up to chapter 8, The Shield of Faith, which would be on page 64. Page 64, we do have three books left over there under the clock. If you don't have a book, if you would like to purchase one, they're $6. If you want to just borrow it for the class, you can do that as well. So it would be over there. And you'll notice that we have our box for questions is still there. So we're encouraging you guys to grab a 3x5 card and jot down a question if you had one related to spiritual warfare. A question that maybe has been just kind of nagging you in the back of your mind that you're wondering about as it relates to spiritual warfare. Jot that down because next week, it's already here. It's going to be December 3rd. Next week, we will have the question and answer time with Pastor Michael, Pastor Billy, and myself, and we have quite a few questions already, so it should be good. So I encourage you guys to continue. If you had questions still, put them in the box, and we'll do our best to address some of those questions. But guys, if you've turned to page 65 in your books, it's called The Shield of Faith, and we are in the passage Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. I'm going to read, to get us started off here, a quote that's on the first page of chapter 8 by C.H. Spurgeon. He lived back in the 1800s, powerful preacher, wrote a lot of books. He said, like the Spartans. You guys know who the Spartans are? Can you picture the Spartans right now? I'm not talking about the college football team, but the Spartans, the guys who were warriors, guys that were, you know, just super victorious in battle. They gave it their all. He says, like the Spartans, every Christian is born a warrior. It is his destiny to be assaulted. It is his duty to attack. Part of his life will be occupied with defensive warfare. He will have to defend earnestly the faith once delivered to the saints. He will have to resist the devil. He will have to stand against all his wiles, and having done all, still to stand. So that just kind of reinforces some of the things that we've talked about, that Christianity is not a passive sport, is it? It's not one where you just sit back and watch it as an entertainer or just kind of think, okay, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, that's all I was interested in. There are some people like that. There are some people that they call that kind of fire insurance, right? Where you just say the prayer, hoping you get into heaven, and that's all you really cared about. But there's so much more to our walk with Christ, and it is very active. So I like that quote by Spurgeon where he reminds us that part of our life will be occupied with defensive warfare. And you guys who have been walking with the Lord, you know what that's all about. You know that warfare that you're engaged in. Okay, the fight, the ongoing fight with the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have to defend earnestly the faith once delivered to the saints and resist the devil and to stand against his wiles. So we're going to learn a little bit more about that today as we're continuing to put that armor on, to be armed for the battle. We're going to catch up to where we're at by starting back in verse 10, where we started several weeks ago in Ephesians 6. The Apostle Paul, talking to the church, said, guys, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Do you guys feel like maybe we're in the evil day? I think as a Christian, a lot of times the days can be super evil for us, just an onslaught of things coming against us. You'd be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, verse 16, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So this is our passage that we're going to dig into this morning. In all circumstances, above all, maybe that says in your translation, above all. So he highlights that as being, you know, we've talked about different pieces of armor, different aspects of our walk and our battle with the enemy and what we need to be doing. But above all, in all circumstances, this is something that encompasses all of life, faith. Right? So faith can be one of those words that if you've been in the church long or even just in the world, faith is just kind of thrown out there and you kind of wonder, what does that really mean, faith? Paul says, in all circumstances, above all, taking up that shield of faith, because that shield of faith is going to help you do what? Extinguish all or some, all the flaming darts of the evil one. So they're reinforcing that, guys, there is a real devil. It's not just a thought of, well, the devil is just that idea of evil being present. The devil is a real entity, right? The devil is a real power that we fight against. So as we're going to dig into that, we just want to look at a couple things of review. We talked about the gospel of peace footwear last week, and that preaching the gospel of peace to ourselves helps us to stand firm in the battle. Okay, so we've talked about that. You see it over and over again, that idea of being told to stand firm. And we've said before, not standing around idly, not rushing about, but standing firm. And we're no longer enemies of God. This is the peace that we have. This is the good news. The gospel reminds us we're no longer enemies of God. God made peace with us through the cross. So taking up the shield of faith, let's talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about what exactly maybe that shield was that Paul was looking at. So as you guys see that picture there, you can see that there are a couple different kinds of shields that a Roman soldier would use. And it says that in your book there, but they use a little round one, you know, and that might be for like just the face-to-face, hand-to-hand stuff that's going on. But what Paul was most likely talking about is that one there on the left, that long one. That long one, which was about 2.5 feet wide by about 4.5 feet long. This is interesting when doing some of the studying. It says that the men back then were shorter than most of the men today, right? So you say, man, a 4.5-inch shield, how's that going to cover everything? Because these guys would crouch down behind it. They would get behind it like that, and they would protect themselves. Well, I guess 2,000 years ago, the guys were just a little bit shorter. And so that shield got the job done. And then that one on the right there is just kind of a fun graphic that just kind of shows that warrior that's what it's like. Maybe some of you feel that way. You feel like those darts are coming. They're always coming. But thank God you have a shield. So the shield was a large, heavy, rectangular shield. And this is the bottom of page 65. It talks about that. Cover the entire body. And scholars tell us that it was fireproof. Can you imagine that? It was a metal-lined shield. It was door-like. And like we said, the size of it. A soldier crouching behind in battle would be completely protected from flaming arrows. So Paul, looking at that, it made him think, how do we protect ourselves against the enemy's arrows? Paul was somebody who was familiar with warfare, familiar with things that as you try to advance the gospel, as you try to live faithfully for Christ, Paul knew very well there would be opposition. And he faced opposition at every turn. It almost seems like as you read through the book of Acts and in some of the letters, Paul was constantly in conflict, right? You might say, well, what was wrong with him? He was constantly in conflict. Didn't the guy know how to live at peace with people? Paul was engaged in frontline missionary activities, sharing that gospel, taking it, planting churches, building up churches, challenging all of the demonic things that were going on in these cities and these places where he was trying to establish churches. So, of course, the enemy would fight back. So if you think that in your life the enemy is not going to fight back as you start faithfully living for Christ, you don't understand what it means to really be a Christian, because that's what it is, fighting an enemy that is real, that doesn't want to give up anything, right? And you'll see that as you read through the book of Acts, lots of that. So the shield, it protects the entire body. Also, one of the things, that long shield on the left, you see sometimes where they all line up, and said, man, sometimes this would go for like a mile wide. Can you picture that? A mile wide, having these warriors with their shields. So they would be there on the front protecting, and so the guys behind them, the archers, would have a chance to be offensive and to fight back and to throw some arrows. So there could be a chance where these guys were marching together and they just had that shield just protecting them because they knew the enemy wasn't going to roll over and play dead. The enemy was going to be very engaged against them. So really what it was they would form a portable defensive wall and they would march with that. Okay? So the Apostle Paul is saying that's what we need to have as faith. We need to have that protective shield because you're going to find, and maybe you guys are already finding that right now, a lot of things in this world and in our culture that will challenge your faith, that will cause you to start second-guessing. Have you ever done that? Have you ever felt like you started to believe, okay, I think I understand that now. I think I understand that doctrinal truth. I think I understand what that verse is saying. And then all of a sudden you're unsettled. All of a sudden maybe someone else comes with a different teaching or you hear something on a podcast or you hear something and it can start challenging that faith that you have. That's the warfare that we're in right now. That's the warfare, that battle for your mind, the battle for your heart. And Paul is saying, we can extinguish those by having faith. So you'll notice, as Doug pointed out earlier, Doug said, hey, this guy really likes to talk about subjective and objective. He always brings that up. You know, there's an objective faith. There's also a subjective faith. Well, the objective faith would be something like that body of belief, the doctrines that were passed down from the apostles through the ages. They called it the faith, right? That's just kind of the term, the faith, the rule of faith. It was used back in the second century. They talked about that. So that is more of the objective, that doctrinal body of belief, things that we believe about God and about the Bible, all those kind of things. But what is more subjective? And that's probably what we're going to spend our time this morning talking about, subjective faith. That's right where you're at right now. That's the battle that you're in right now, where you're trying to get it figured out. You're trying to hold on to something that you believe. And you guys know, and I don't know if it's anything unique. It seems unique to me. I've been a Christian for about 40 years. It seems that in the last 5, maybe 10 years, there has just been what I like to think, maybe the Bible talked about, this great falling away that's going to take place. You see a lot of Christian, not worship leaders, pastors, rejecting the faith, saying, I no longer believe. And I can name some names, but you guys probably know some of them already. Guys that maybe you had there. I was going through some of the old magazines that I have as a worship leader. We would subscribe to a magazine called Worship Leader. And it was just kind of troubling looking at some of the people on the cover that now they are no longer walking with Christ. Right? They're engaged maybe in that fight for faith and lost. For a season now, they've been shipwrecked in their faith. So it's a real battle, guys. It's a real thing that's going on right now, and we want to make sure that we're equipped. And we'll talk a little bit about that, what that looks like to be equipped against that. So what is a good definition of faith? That might be a good place for us to just say, okay, let's just define that. What does it mean? Because like I said, there's a lot of people talking about faith, but on page 66 of your book, towards the bottom, you'll see where it says faith defined. Pretty good definition. Faith defined. And it says, faith simply defined, right there at the bottom, is a conviction of a known truth and the solid confidence that springs from that conviction. Faith is a firm persuasion of an unwavering trust in God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Based upon everything he has said to us about himself in his word. In addition, in this context of Ephesians, faith communicates the idea of belief in God's power and his promises to do all he said he would do in order to keep us safe from enemy assaults. So I like what he's saying in there. He just really tightens up that definition. Instead of faith just being this nebulous idea of just to believe in God or just to believe in some spiritual afterlife, just a wishy-washy thing. He says specifically, unwavering trust in God and his Son, Jesus Christ, and everything that God has spoken in his word. So our faith needs to be built upon those things, right? Those are the things that we need to focus on in order for us to be able to stand against the enemy, is we need to be grounded in his word, and we need to have an unshakable faith in who God is and what his son, Jesus Christ, has accomplished on our behalf. All of those things, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. So a definition of faith, that's a good one. How about Hebrews 11:6? Can somebody maybe even quote that, I bet? Hebrews 11:6, that's a passage that's pretty famous. It tells us, it says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." So you guys have Bibles in front of you. We're going to spend some time in Hebrews 11. They call that the chapter of faith, the hall of faith. There's lots of things I think we can learn from that chapter. So you guys, if you do it on your phone, you have your own Bibles. Otherwise, you've got the Bibles there in front of you. We're going to spend some time there in just a little bit. So what are the different types of faith? We're going to look at that as we kind of, as the Bible tells us these different people from like Enoch and Noah and Samson, all these different guys and how they lived by faith. We're going to get to there and try to learn a little bit about that. But first, let's talk about what the fiery arrows might be, right? We've talked about the shield. We've talked about faith. What about these fiery arrows that Paul talks about? What do they look like? In what form do they come to us? Page 67 of your book, page 67, probably about three-fourths of the way down, you'll see where it says a Dutch reformer, and it gives the guy's name, Dutch reformer. I really liked what he said in here because I think it's practical. It helps us to understand what exactly these fiery darts are. How the enemy attacks us, how he attacks you. So let's read that. Let's just take a look at what this guy said, what his quote. It says that faith is the fountainhead of spiritual life, and he therefore seeks to obscure faith. He's talking about how the devil attacks us. He suddenly interjects irrational suggestions, such as, is all this in truth? Is not all this imagination? He will then continually stir you up to mentally reflect upon these suggestions and to search them out. If we then begin to listening to the enemy, he gets hold of us and he begins to present arguments upon which he demands an answer. And if he gets you that far that you begin to respond by reasoning, he will proceed with his argumentation and will, time and again, present new proofs. So pause there for a second. What he's saying is that if you're in this battle for faith and wanting to believe something about God, something that you read in the scriptures, maybe it's a doctrinal truth, the enemy, like we talked about, is going to try to get you unsettled, as we've been learning about in spiritual warfare. Paul over and over tells us we need to have a defensive stance, right? We need to be standing against the enemy. But the enemy is going to come and he's going to start putting doubts in your mind. He did that with Adam and Eve. Did God really say? Is that really what it means? Is Jesus really God? Or is that just something they made up? Those kind of doubts. That's the enemy. So if you start struggling with things like that, and you felt like you had some sure footing, and all of a sudden you're struggling with things like that, that's what a fiery dart looks like. That's what it is when you start having doubts like that. So what he's saying in here is that you're going to experience that. That's the kind of warfare the enemy has against us. And if the devil can kind of crack open your imagination a little bit, and in your imagination you start entertaining those thoughts, and that maybe that really isn't. Maybe God isn't as good as I thought he was. That's the enemy, right? So recognize those kind of thought patterns. Recognize those things. And he's saying, learn to cut those things off right away. Just cut them off. Don't entertain those things. Go back to the Word of God. So when we talk about faith, faith in what? Faith in the Word of God, what God has revealed in the Scriptures. And don't try to approach it with reason, and don't try to reason with the devil. That's what it's saying in this quote here. Don't try to reason with the devil. Let's pick this up again, halfway through. When the ability to reason fails, he then proceeds to bring you from fleeting atheistic thoughts to embrace atheism itself. Like we're talking about, a lot of these ex-evangelicals, a lot of these worship leaders and pastors walking away from the faith. This is the fruit of it. You will then be grievously caught in the net and be incapable of having either comfort or peace, and will not be able to be encouraged in whatever you are doing. Therefore, be on your guard against giving heed to these initial fleeting interjections. Let them pass by and proceed as before, relying upon what? The Word of God. That really seems like, well, that's kind of maybe basic, but you know what? That's where it starts. It says, weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and anything that sets itself up against what? The knowledge of God. So we've talked about that verse several times. That's the warfare we're in. That's how the devil's working. Those are the fiery darts that he wants to throw you off of your game. He wants to get you to where you are no longer standing strong, as the Apostle Paul is telling us in Ephesians, but you have lost your footing. And that's what the devil does. Just like maybe an NFL game, right? You watch those offensive and defensive lines. What are they doing? They're trying to hold ground, right? They're trying to, the guys are coming at them, they're pushing and shoving and all that kind of stuff. And the defensive guys would just as soon knock that offensive guy down, step over him, and get to the quarterback. That's what the devil's trying to do to us, right? He's trying to get us off of our footing. He's trying to knock us down and get us to a place where we continually open up our minds and hearts to things that just aren't true. One of the practical things that I would say in battling against that is just be very selective on what you're listening to. I know podcasts are all the rage right now. So there's podcasts of people, you know what it is? Guys sitting around sharing their opinions, right? Opinions, and this guy arguing with that guy about this. But what happens is that we start believing some of those things. We start entertaining some of those untruths about Christianity, about God, about spiritual things. So I would say, if you're going to listen to podcasts, listen to things that you know or sound like teachers that would be teaching truth, that have a good track record. The reason I say that is I know that it is one of those things where you just live in this world of, yeah, but what if, right? And I've been around people like that. Yeah, but what if? Yeah, but you know, so-and-so says. That's the fruit of just kind of opening yourself up. Am I saying that we shouldn't be seekers and we shouldn't want to learn? We absolutely should. But be careful. We just live in a world now where everything is just right at your fingertips. And you guys can hear from anybody who wants to have a piece of your soul and have an audience with you. So I would just say be very careful with that. And that probably goes for what you're reading, those kinds of things, who you're listening to on TV for your spiritual nourishment, if you're going to the TV for your spiritual nourishment at all. Just be very careful about those things. So I wanted to look at a few things about temptation, because these things and what the devil does in these fiery darts is he comes in through temptations, through trying to get us to fall, to get us to where we're questioning ourselves, we're feeling unworthy before God. You know how it works. You've been there, right? To where the enemy has been whispering to you. A few examples of temptations that were designed to get a believer to stumble. We talked about Adam and Eve, doubting God and his character. Jesus in the wilderness, spiritual warfare, right? In the Gospels, the devil is, Jesus is fasting for 40 days and he is beginning this ministry, and he has this sense of, he knows the calling and the anointing that he has from God to go and to preach and to do healings and to show the kingdom of God is here. And the enemy is going to, right off the bat, show up and try to discourage Jesus. How does he do it? What are the fiery darts that he shoots at Jesus? Well, Jesus is fasting and he's hungry. So the enemy comes in with a temptation. Why don't you turn those rocks into bread? So maybe a temptation with physical comforts, right? And that's one that we all are familiar with, physical comforts. Let's not get too radical about Christianity. Let's not get too serious about it. Let's go down the path of physical comfort, maybe. As Pastor Michael talks about quite a bit, is that idea of pursuing the American dream, those kind of things. That can be the enemy's temptation. That's what the enemy was doing with Jesus there. Hey, focus on your physical comfort. Focus on you right now, your needs. You can do it. You can turn that into bread. That was one dart. Testing God. Throw yourself off the temple. Angels are going to come. They're going to hold you up. They're going to bear you up. What a show that would be, right? People to see that, they're never going to question who you are. Go ahead and do it. Just throw yourself off the temple. Well, that was a temptation Jesus dealt with. He knew the word of God and how to come back on that. For God has said, it is written. That's how Jesus dealt. And then the false promise that the devil gave Jesus, that if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. And he gives him a vision of all the kingdoms of the world. Just bow down and worship me, Jesus. I know that you want all of this anyway. You want all the nations. You want all of this to worship you. Hey, let's just shortcut this. You can have a crown without a cross. That's a temptation that maybe we face also. Quick fix spirituality. We want to mature quickly without putting any time into maybe studying and prayer, fellowship, those kinds of things, is we want that result, but we don't want to do it God's way. So those are temptations we see where the devil, fiery darts right at Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, the Word of God, knew how to fight that. He had that shield of faith, knew the Word of God. He was the Word of God, and he spoke it back to the devil. What about John the Baptist in prison? You ever think of him? You ever think of John the Baptist, who Jesus said was one of the greatest of all time? Here's John the Baptist in prison going through his moment of doubt, his time of, is this really real? And remember the question that he sends to Jesus? Are you really the one who is to come, or should I be expecting another? Can you imagine John the Baptist getting to that point to where he's doubting? Well, it should give us all hope that somebody like John the Baptist can go through trials, can go through seasons of testing his faith. Because you will, and I will as well. How do we deal with that? We need to hear God's word. We need to be reassured from God's word. So we see these temptations, and we hear that the Apostle Paul even talks about friends of his and others in the scriptures who he says they started off okay, but they got shipwrecked in their what? Shipwrecked in their faith. So you see that there's this pattern of the enemy coming against Jesus, coming against his followers, that's the pattern, guys. That's the way it is. So we don't need to be discouraged by that to know that we're in this battle with a powerful enemy. We need to draw near to God, and that's what the Apostle Paul was telling us in Ephesians 6:10, that we need to rely on God and his might. So we need to have our eyes open to see the warfare that we're in, and then we need to also be assured of God's power and that he is the one, that he is the author and he is the perfecter of our what? Faith. He's the author and he's the perfecter. Draw near to God. Stay near to him. Six practical helps, guys, let's go through this. These are things that they're kind of basic, but they're super important. And we talked a little bit about this already. Pages 69 and 70 list these, but I wrote these out here. Sit under trustworthy Bible teaching from your local church. I say local church, that's somebody who's going to care about you. A TV preacher doesn't really know you. He doesn't know you at all. He doesn't really care about you. A local pastor at your church will care about your soul. You found a church that you trust. They're preaching from the Bible. They love God. Sit under trustworthy Bible teaching. That's how you're going to grow in your faith. That's how you're going to be protected in your faith. That's one way. Continue in regular fellowship with God's people. Now, Sunday morning is a good start. Sunday morning is a great start. But you know what, guys? We need each other. We need each other. We need to spend time with each other. And you guys have a ministry of encouragement. You have a ministry of doing what? Spurring others on to love and good deeds. That's why we need to be together. Because you need to be doing that with someone else. Spurring them on. You need to be encouraged by spending time with them. Praying together. So I encourage you guys here at New Life Church. That would be our life groups. getting involved in life groups, getting involved in D groups, getting involved in a Bible study, spending time with other people and not going it alone. Privately spend regular time in God's Word, where you can open up that Bible and you can start reading, and the Holy Spirit is going to be guiding you and giving you assurance and building into your life. And you will be able to deal with the enemy's fiery darts when it comes against your faith the way that Jesus did. You'll know the truth, right? You'll know the truth. Because the devil quoted Bible verses to Jesus, but Jesus knew them so well that he was able to say, that's not what it means. This is what it means. This is what I'm supposed to do to obey God. That's the kind of people we need to be. Workmen that are approved, right? Correctly handling the Word of God. So spend time in God's Word. Invest time in heartfelt prayer. Carve out times, guys, where you're praying. And that looks different for everybody. You may say, well, I can't really focus if I just like try to spend 20 minutes or whatever just kneeling by my bed. Maybe that works for you. Others, it might be just as you're going about your life, as you're driving, maybe you go for walks, maybe it's sitting in your recliner at home, whatever it is, praying with your spouse, whatever that means, but spend time in heartfelt prayer. Super important to strengthen your faith. Strive to keep a good conscience. That's important because when you start going down a path where you're doing things that you feel ashamed of, where you know you were wrong, you compromised, it's easy then for the enemy to get in there and drive that wedge between you and God. And what happens? You start pulling away from fellowship. You start pulling away from reading the Bible. You start pulling away from times of heartfelt prayer because you don't feel worthy. You feel condemned. That's the strategy of the enemy. That's how he works, right? So strive to keep a good conscience. Right? If something you do something wrong, you say something wrong, you thought something wrong, take it to God. Just take it to him. He knows already. Just take it to him. Father, I know that was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. Lord, help me with this relationship. Whatever it is, God, I blew it. I need your grace. I'm going to stand. I'm going to get that shield. I'm going to fight back, Lord. But strive to keep a good conscience going to God when you have failed. And remember, Christ has you and will not give you up. That's important to remember because you're going to feel in the midst of a battle like maybe God's forsaken me. You're going to look around and think, maybe the reason I'm in this battle is because God's not for me anymore. We need to remember that Christ is for you. Who can be against you? Arm yourself with those kinds of biblical truths. Arm your soul. Fill up your soul and your heart with truths. And remind yourself that Christ has you. He will not give up on you. Okay? So, guys, those are just some practical things that if you will do those things, and they say, well, those sound like pretty basic. I wanted to hear some more stuff about spiritual warfare. Well, we might get into that. But, guys, this is where it's at. This is where we need to be strengthened in our faith. That's that shield of faith around us when we have good disciplines like this. So I want to encourage you guys now, just spend some time, pick one or two of those if you have time at your table, something that maybe is personal for you that you guys want to talk about, and just share with each other. And then maybe if there's a struggle or whatever, you guys can covenant to pray for each other throughout the week, remembering that it's good for us to encourage one another, knowing that we're praying for each other. So go ahead at your tables, and if you're at a table by yourself, please feel free to join someone else and just talk through a few of those.